Wednesday, February 14th, 2007, Upon Further Review, episode number 33. Well, it's Valentine's Day, folks, and we here at Upon Further Review have got only one question for you. Are you feeling the love? Okay, Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we want to welcome everybody in. Happy Valentine's Day. This is episode number 33, by the way, of Upon Further Review, and we're recording this on Valentine's Day. We just got back from Valentine's dinner at a restaurant called Madison Bistro. So, first of all, happy Valentine's Day to my beautiful wife.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now that you've all been let in on this most personal moment through the entire internet. And hope that everyone out there is having a good time. I know that this holiday is, we're going to talk about the holiday in a second in more detail, but everybody talks about this as being like a greeting card company, you know, holiday manufacturer.
Some people
one, but
love this holiday. Like, yeah. This is their favorite holiday, actually.
So for our single listeners, if you're in that boat and it gets frustrating to hear this stuff, I apologize. You know, tis the season. You can fast forward until you get to the restaurant part of it if you want.
There's some people who wear black.
Oh,
on the day every
do they
year.
Really? Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Well, if you're in that category, then that's fine. Then go find our review of black. I'm sure we have one.
Yeah, who's to say we're going to be giving them a good review?
That's true.
Maybe.
That's true. You need to tune in and find out. And continue. That's
you
right.
You agree.
So we want to thank everybody for listening as always. And I think that's all the preamble that I've got for today. Everything seems to be working out with the feed. Everyone seems to be back on board. And so without further ado, let us get on to the show. We've got three things as usual for tonight. We're going to start by reviewing a Valentine's Day, the holiday. Then we're going to be moving on to review two restaurants, the Madison Bistro and Water's Edge. These are two restaurants that Clea and I have been to recently under different circumstances, and so we'll talk a little bit about those. We haven't reviewed restaurants in a while. And then we're going to conclude, we're going to be reviewing a short silent film, which is called That Old Silent Film. It's very minimalist in every respect, which was sent to us by a guy who was recommended to us by Avram, our friend from the Feed Me Bubby vidcast that we reviewed a few weeks
ago.
Isn't
it something like he's Arnon, and he was referred to us by...
Yeah, Avram, the guy who did Feed Me Bubby, reviewed Arnon, or told Arnon to get in contact with us. And Arnon is part of Oxrock Productions, and he's just done this short film that is in this contest called On the Lot, I believe. He actually says it's part of the first phase of casting for a reality TV show competition. So I don't know if that means...
He need outside votes, or is it an internal thing that people can
I think outside
about?
Votes would be helpful, too. I know that he's been asking for outside commentary anyway,
oh, okay.
on the site. So we'll talk about the site, and we'll give you information about that when it comes. And that is going to be the show for today.
Okay.
So let's start out by talking a little bit about Valentine's Day. And we have selected for you, because there really aren't any sites about Valentine's... Okay, that's a lie. There's literally hundreds of thousands of sites. So we have found at history.com, www.history.com/... Oh, dear Lord.
If you just do a search on history.com. Right.
If you just go to history.com and then do a search for Valentine's Day, that's much better than reading you this ridiculous line. Essentially, the history of Valentine's Day, and there's been some, as I said before, it's a greeting card company thing, but there's been some disagreement as to whether that's actually true. St. Valentine's Day has both vestiges of Christian and ancient Roman tradition. One legend claims that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome, and when Claudius II, the emperor, decided that single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families, he outlawed marriage for young men, which were his crop of potential soldiers. Valentine defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages for young lovers in secret. When Valentine's actions were discovered, Claudius ordered that he be put to death. Other stories suggest that Valentine may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape harsh Roman prisoners where they were often beaten and tortured. But the point is that Valentine, who is now, of course, a saint, has often been associated with love, regardless of how it actually started. And I believe this is, I mean, I know that it's American in the sense that it's very commercialized, so we get lots of jewelry and flowers and candy and chocolates and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, I think it's a fairly international holiday. I mean, I think people, you know, maybe they don't care about it as much in Australia and Europe and other places in the world.
There's also the big thing of the longest kiss or the most people kissing or something.
Yeah,
like
they just broke that record, didn't they?
Comes out around this time as well. And yep. I think that's international. I don't think that's just America.
Right. In fact, they just broke the record. I think it was 6,000 people kissing at once, if I'm not mistaken. It says that in addition to the United States, Valentine's Day is celebrated in Canada, Mexico, the United Kingdom, France, and Australia. So there you go. So if you're some of our listeners in Israel or in Poland, we had someone stop in from Poland, I noticed as well, and put themselves on our Frapper map, then we hope that you will find this interesting. And for the rest of you, you know what we're talking about. I'd like to point out, by the way, approximately 85% of all Valentines are purchased by women. And there have been a lot
Valentine's
of
Valentine's as in a Valentine card.
I guess that's what it doesn't say, but I guess that's what they mean.
Okay.
It says that an estimated 1 billion Valentine cards are sent each year, according to the Greeting Card Association. Is there an association for everything? Like, yeah. Somebody to lobby for greeting cards? I wasn't aware that they were like a disenfranchised group or something.
I don't think that's the only reason you create an association, is so that people can lobby for you, Greg. I think there's multiple reasons why you created an association.
Yeah, but why would you... So you can sit around and talk about cards? I'm like, well, what? Understand.
I think that's interesting. So the women buy the cards, and I guess the guys are supposed to buy the chocolates and the flowers.
I guess.
Have I ever bought you a Valentine's Day card?
No.
Not one?
No, I think you bought me one or two.
Okay.
See, I've always thought, and this is something which, you know, my male friends sort of confirm anecdotally, that this is a holiday designed for women. I mean, because seriously, like, everyone talks about the fact, I think actually our friend Russ has talked about this, if you screw this holiday up, it doesn't matter what else you've done in the world. You could be the greatest, you could have cured cancer 6 times over, you could walk on water, you could, you know, you could bring your wife breakfast in bed, dinner in bed, you know, bring her by sedan chair to work every day, or not even to work, bring her by sedan chair to get her nails done, and then back every day. And if you screw up Valentine's Day, it's all over. Like, that's how much value this has. Whereas guys, it can be very nerve-wracking, especially if you get the wrong thing, or if, God forbid, you forget or something like that. So I don't know. Do you think that's true? Is it focused towards women? Or?
Well, I don't really think of a good woman to speak on behalf of the entire gender, but I will agree that
show, honey, you're the only woman to speak on behalf of the gender, so I will not be able to assist you
because
in that regard.
I'm obviously, unlike any other woman, rarely buy a Valentine's Day card. And
They must mean purchased for women. It doesn't make any sense. They buy them and then give them to their husbands or boyfriends or significant others to give back to them? Does that make any sense?
No.
Hey, Bob, make sure you give me this in 2 days.
I can see that. No, I think I could see women being the more, you know, I'll get him a nice cute card, and then men are supposed to get the candy
and the flowers. Or the lingerie. This has become the way that men have fought back, I think, is they buy women this attractive, you know, lingerie and underwear.
Or women buy the lingerie for themselves for the guy. Like, that's the gift that women get.
That's the gift that women get?
Yeah.
I see.
Which can be much more expensive than the chocolate and the flowers at times.
Yeah, I see.
I mean, I don't think that I would totally destroy all my thought of you if you forgot or sucked on this day, but... I would definitely agree that there is a gender bias to this holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It very much is, I feel, you know, for heterosexual relationships that the expectation is that the guy make it special. And
is that connected, do you think, at all to the whole love thing? The fact that guys tend to be, you know, there's a sort of general belief that guys have trouble expressing emotions like love. And so Valentine's Day becomes something that's very important for the women who want to feel loved all
the time. I could see it as the expectation of that. I could see it as the expectation of one of these few vestiges where a guy could actually express love in a way that maybe he would feel comfortable.
That's socially acceptable in some way.
Socially acceptable. But honestly, I think it really what it is this was just one of the last vestiges of sexism, of the concept that
you heard it here first, folks.
We still
right now all of our male listeners have taped this 5 times over.
We still expect men to hold the door in a lot of respects. We still want them to be polite, you know, pull out the chair. I mean, we still want certain things, and I think this is one of the things that still has held on, is that we expect the men to be good and thoughtful and send us flowers or do something special for the woman.
Okay, well, the other question then is, so our friend Russ's other point about Valentine's Day is...
Hi, Russ. I hope he's speaking.
I hope this is Russ that I'm remembering and not somebody else. One of my friends said this. But the other thing that he said was that this makes it seem as if there's no other holiday or no other day. Like, in other words, you should always love somebody, and you should always care for them and do nice things for them, and you shouldn't need a specific day to sort of focus all your attention and energy on. Any truth to that theory, do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that for me, I think that's the reason why I said I wouldn't hang up on it, because what would bother me more is if on a day-to-day basis you weren't showing the love and affection that you needed to show in the mm-hmm. relationship, or mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis if you weren't making the investments in the relationship. It won't matter. That matters more than what you do on one day.
I see. Okay.
I mean, there's even times where I might think, gosh, I hope, you know, he doesn't spend a lot of money, because it's just one day and then it's over.
The other problem when you get married, and I've noticed this more and more over the years, is that anytime you buy something, that element of secrecy is removed, and also your finances are connected, right? So now, you know, I get her flowers and she's like, did you use like a thing to get frequent flyer miles? And let me tell you, nothing says romance like, I got 6,000 extra miles on my card, baby. Happy Valentine's Day. It must be love.
Well, you know how it is out there, people. You know, you have all these like credit card things and these like these frequent flyer mile things.
And
there's nothing that can like hit you in the wallet when you think, I could have gotten frequent flyer miles for that when I buy that anyway. I could have all this time been getting frequent flyer miles. So that's more my issue than I think. But I don't know how much you spent on them.
That's right. Well,
did you use the gold card? I do pay the credit card bill, so I guess I could look, but I try not to.
Yeah, I mean, okay, good. That makes sense then. I don't know. It just makes it more difficult since it's very difficult to surprise you anyway. The other thing,
but not all couples are like that. Some couples keep separate checking accounts, and some couples keep like the separate 10% or something like that, and they could
separate
take
relationships.
It, could take it from
separate
that,
houses.
I guess. Your parents had separate checking accounts, didn't they?
I think my mom may have had like a smaller private one or something like that.
So.
But I guess, well, you know. Well, see, we have no secrets from each other here at Upon Further Review. And
Upon Further Review has no secrets.
We have no secrets amongst ourselves, all two of us, and Lilo.
That's mainly because we don't want to have to balance more than one check.
That's right. We're just like, I don't want to deal with this stuff twice. The other thing about Valentine's Day, besides the flat, now you got the flowers, so I did deliver those. And in fact,
I got the flowers. I was the only woman that I could.
Office who got flowers?
I think I was the only person in the office
that
got flowers.
That's right. What is up? Represent.
Which I don't know what that means.
What? What do you mean you don't know what it means?
Well, no, I appreciate it.
What it clearly means is that I'm dominant. In the male, like giving flowers to people thing, I'm dominant.
Okay.
I rule. Okay.
Good
so
job.
Once you're past that.
Mm hmm.
Well, I don't know what else it means. I just wanted to point out that I was good at that.
I just wondered, does this mean we're still a young couple, or does this mean that you're insecure in our love, that you have to do that, no one else? I just didn't know what it meant. I mean, I just, that no one else
See,
got
here's
them.
The thing, though. From the guy's perspective, the key thing is to be able to remember it and then act upon it in enough time that you can do something about it. But truthfully, you know, it's not... It really has not been difficult ever since the advent of a telephone to call up and say, call a florist and say, can you deliver this to such and such an address? Now that you have email reminders and websites and things like that, there really is no excuse at this point not to be able to remember something enough to do it. And frankly, it does bother me a little bit when I hear, you know, that other people aren't doing this, or, you know, maybe it does mean, well, they're later in their marriage and later in the relationship. I don't know why that should change. Like, obviously on a day-to-day basis, there are times when you can settle into a routine, and periodically in a marriage, you need to take moments to sort of break out of that routine or become aware of the routine and break out of it. So you don't take things for granted. That is one of the advantages of a day like this, I guess. But just sort of to be like, oh, well, yeah, that's the way things go. And then you get into those stupid jokes of people being like, well, you know, now it'll feel like a ball and chain. And I don't think it has to be that way.
I understand that. But I think I could see Russ right now, if that is Russ, that's, you know, would be saying, but isn't it more important that kind of on a daily basis, I know that you're thinking about me?
But it's not mutually exclusive, right? I mean, well, I could love you on this day and other days.
I mean, that was my point.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I mean, there's the day-to-day, are you remembering what you need to do?
Right.
And that is something that, you know, any couples we have issues with that we work on.
Yeah.
But it is also nice to have special, like, occasions where you can demonstrate certain things that kind of brings things a little bit home. So it's like birthdays, you know, celebrating. You can celebrate life on a daily basis, but it's also nice to have a particular ceremony once a year that would do that.
Plus, so, I like ceremonies and holidays anyway. I think there's a nice, it's not all ritual is bad, right? Ritual does have an important function, both personally and familially, you know?
Right, and I think that it can inspire you too. I mean, I see holidays as an opportunity to, and birthdays, to do something special, but then also to remind yourself how easy it is to maybe integrate that into the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, we actually, I mean, this has been quite a month that we've had. I'm not saying the month of February, but I'm saying like the last couple of weeks, we've actually had like three very nice meals. And one of them was because of what we'll talk about later of the restaurant week in New York City.
Right.
Another one was we got together with another couple and happened to find a place that was quite nice and had a really elegant meal.
Yep.
And then this was because of Valentine's Day. But I mean, I could see people once a year doing this, and then hopefully maybe in that opportunity, they could say, you know what, we should do this more often.
It can
and
also,
not just on special occasions.
I agree. And it can also remind you of why you fell in love in the first place, too, because you're focusing exclusively on each other and you're talking about, you know, things and you're having memories about other Valentine's Day and times that you got together. And so that can be valuable as well. I mean, I got you flowers last week because you were feeling kind of down when I called you at work. So I just, on the spur of the moment, got you flowers. I'm not patting myself on the back like I'm so great for doing that. But the point is, I did that because I felt that was something you needed. I think most couples, you know, if they are working properly, will do something like that, you know, but that doesn't mean that they don't then celebrate Valentine's Day or they shouldn't celebrate holidays because somehow that's going to diminish the worth of everything else. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's something which is valuable. And I was looking, by the way, and in my case, maybe this is why it's focused a little bit towards women, at least it seems to be that way. The fact that there are 119 single men in their 20s for every 100 single women of the same ages. And so what that indicates to me is that you need to, the odds are against you as a male. And so you need to make sure that you hold on to the woman that you found and not screw it up.
Is that internationally or just United States?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
I'm presuming it's United States.
Probably United States. That's right.
I didn't realize that it aired on the side of, although look at the other nationalities.
Well, but they're ethnic groups still within America, I believe. Hispanic, so, non-Hispanic, Asian, Black.
Is that just one age group?
Yeah, in their 20s.
In the 20s, there's 119 men to 100 women.
And there are 34 single men aged 65 or older for every 100 single women of the same age.
Yeah, suddenly
so
you guys
when you
have
get
all
past
died
60,
up.
Your odds shoot to the roof.
Like,
so,
God,
wow.
You guys die off, don't
that
you?
Is, so there are a lot of fun facts about this day that you can find there as well. What do you want to rate this holiday?
Six?
Six? That's a little
seven.
Low. I think seven, although I know we give a lot of sevens because it seems to be a nice medium ground. You're inclined to rate it lower or higher?
Just going with my gut because, you know,
yeah,
I'm a professional.
You know what? Six is fine. I mean, I do think it's a good, overall, I think it's a good holiday. I enjoy, you know, I mean, I enjoy the experience of it, but because it's not, it's often one of those things that you don't get it off of work. You know, you normally,
you know,
Valentine's
what you
Day is sort
today?
Of celebrated in
I
the
meant
evening
to,
for dinner.
I meant to, yeah. To record it, but I forgot it was Charlie Brown's Valentine's Day special.
Oh,
I think they did a Charlie. They did.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah,
him and the little redheaded girl that he likes.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's right, little redhaired girl. I guess six makes sense because even though I think it's a good holiday, it's too short. I mean,
it's
that's
very
part of it.
Brief, right?
Thanksgiving just has a big buildup and everything. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the last fact I want to give, it says that the majority, over 50% of all Valentine's Day cards are purchased in the 6 days prior to the observance. What I think is funny is they say that makes Valentine's Day a procrastinator's delight. I bet you over 40% of the cards are bought, let's say, 24 hours prior to the event.
But
that's
see,
the actual
I think,
case.
I don't think that's necessarily procrastination because it's not like Christmas or a birthday where you might have to, majority of them have to be sent in the mail or something like that. These are probably one of the unique cards that are actually given
to the person
to
at the
person.
Time. That's true.
Yes, yeah, so you
true.
Can hand it yep. off, so you don't have to go and do it far in advance,
I guess
like
true.
Christmas
so
cards or Hanukkah cards or something
regard.
Like that.
That's right. That makes sense.
That's my theory.
All right. Well, then, so 6 out of 10 for Valentine's Day, and since we love all of you, we thought it was appropriate to do something about the holiday of love. Thank you.
I just like you a lot. Greg loves you.
Yeah. I felt like I was writing a country music song there. I don't
yeah,
know why.
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. Next up on the docket are the two restaurants that we want to review. And I guess we're going to start by reviewing Water's Edge. And again, for people who are not in the United States or not in New York, we understand that this won't directly apply, except that we're hoping maybe in reviewing this, we can talk a little bit about what we hope to get from a nice restaurant.
Yeah. Can you go to the open door thing?
Sure.
Because
open table, you mean, right?
Open table. I was trying to figure out before we did this how often restaurant week happens, but I couldn't figure out. I want to say it's more than once a year. I want to say it's like two to four times
so
a year.
So why don't you talk about what it is? What is restaurant week?
And restaurant week in New York is where restaurants have a fixed price meals. It's I think 20 for lunch and 35 for dinner.
Something like that, yeah.
And all of the restaurants that participate in the restaurant week, that's the price it's set. Now, you could have supplemental costs where they might add if you want to get an extra special item or something like that, but that's the fixed price.
Right.
So you have an opportunity to go to restaurants that are like 4 or 5 star restaurants. So this is an opportunity to go to a 4 or 5 star place and have it, you know how much it's going to be. It's $35. And it works like a normal fixed price meal where the restaurant will have usually like 3 or 5 courses and you choose from different items for each course.
Right.
And then additional, again, if you want the, you know, foie gras instead of the normal salad, it might be an additional like $4 or $5 supplemental, and you have to pay for drinks.
Right.
But that's it. And so it's a nice way to go out and see some possibly nice restaurants that you would never get a normal chance to go to.
And this particular place that we went to called Water's Edge is a place that's actually in Long Island City, Queens, which is kind of weird. It's basically on the westernmost side of Queens. It overlooks Manhattan, actually, so mm-hmm. It's right near the river. And Long Island City is kind of a strange place in Queens. There's a lot of car dealerships out there, but there are a couple of places like this that are right near the water. And this particular place actually has a ferry which shuttles people across the river mm-hmm. to and from Manhattan back out to this place, which is nice as well.
Right.
The view is very nice. The day that we went, it was actually raining, but it was still kind of a nice view.
We still had a clear view. It was evening.
City. Mm-hmm. And the meal itself was nice. The service was fine, I thought. I didn't think there was anything particularly special. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was going to say about this is, you know, when you go to a nice restaurant, because if you're like us, you can't afford to go much at all, when you do go to a nice restaurant, you want a couple of things, I think. First of all, obviously, the food has to be good. And this is something where the atmosphere really matters. Like, for mm-hmm. Clea and myself, you know, when we eat out and we just go to, like, you know, we go to Subway or, you know, if we go to, like, just, like, Friendly's restaurant that we've talked about before, or some, like, family sit-down place, that's just something where, you know, you go and, you know, the service, as long as it's fine, that, you know, as long as it's mm-hmm. reasonable, what you're looking for is decent food at a decent price. Here, I think you really want the atmosphere to sort of contribute to the mood, because you really want it to be something where you can slow down.
Something special,
because that what it creates in you, the mood that it creates in you, is supposed to last well after the meal has been left behind. This is what the Epicureans believed. It's not just supposed to be about just the food and then you're done. And America, especially, I'm sure this is true for a lot of our listeners abroad as well, it's so fast. Everything is so rushed mm-hmm. that it's very hard to take time to slow down. And that's what one of these meals is designed to do. So the atmosphere, I thought, was pretty good. Although it was funny because the music, we had this guy playing piano there and he was playing songs everywhere from like Stairway to Heaven to like you know, Frank Sinatra songs
on piano,
but they all sounded like a Frank Sinatra song. Like, if you could imagine some guy, you know, how lucky can one guy be, and she's buying a stairway to heaven.
But
know,
he wasn't like, singing.
He wasn't singing, but yeah. That's how I was imagining. It was just all the same. I'm like, oh my god, how could you play every song the same? Anyway.
But you know, I mean, one thing that a few people have complained about with Restaurant Week is that although this is a good opportunity for nice restaurants to get more people into their doors and possibly for you to come in, fall in love with them, and maybe have that be a special spot for you.
Right.
You're not talking the creme de la creme of their menu. When
right.
they do a fixed pre, they're not going to give you the best of the best. It's not to say that
it's... Are you saying we're getting the leavings of the rich people?
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, you're not getting the best off their menu for $35. So that's one issue. I mean, it's a foot in the door. It's an opportunity to experience some nice places. And as Greg said, to get that nicer ambiance and nicer service that you wouldn't at a place where you're not paying that amount of money.
The other thing I wanted to mention about the service, I've noticed this in a lot of places, that the service, there's a real diminishing returns, I find. The real sense of diminishing returns with the service. Like, I don't find, when I've gone to these nice restaurants, very seldom have I found, wow, that service was spectacular. Do you know what I mean?
What, like, about it per se?
Well, we talked about that, but the problem we had with that was that we thought the guy was being incredibly
fake. You just thought
fake.
That was fakey, but the service was good. I mean, you had like five people waiting on you.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to, you know, you had your own army of service people, so that was, you know, waiters and stuff. I don't know. I mean, like, I think, yeah, I mean, I guess something like that. But see, there, you had an enormous jump in price, as we talked about. You know, I mean, like,
right.
in the per se case, you're spending money that you and I could never have spent, and we were only able to do it because your dad was able to, you know, pick up the tab, so.
Yeah, and per se, I think, was not on the Restaurant Week. I mean, there's certain ones,
Probably they were like, are you kidding? Get out of our face. We do not need people for our restaurant.
Yeah.
So
that's Water's Edge. I mean, it's...
What do you want to say for them?
It's a large enough place that I think it's fairly easy to get in, and they had a, you want to definitely request a water view.
Yes, which we were lucky enough to get.
Along the glass. And it did seem a little bit like they're set up. Most of those tables along there are two people tables.
Yes.
Two person tables. And you also want to make sure that you get it far enough down so you're not just sitting in front of the ferry, because the ferry sits out in front of the restaurant.
Right.
So you want to request a table that's outside of the view of the ferry so you can actually see the majority of the skyline of New York City.
Their website is www.watersedgenyc.com. So that's WATERSEDGENYC.com. And they have a thing there where you can click on opentable.com, which is a thing that a lot of restaurants in New York do, I guess in other cities increasingly now too, where they actually centralize their reservation system. So if you click on them, you can make the reservation with them. Now, interestingly, when we got there, they didn't have the reservation printed out, even though it was on the computer, and there was a little bit of confusion about that. But then they figured it out, and it was fine, because I had made the reservation earlier. So,
and I think it's OpenTable that hosts the restaurant.
Oh, they're the ones who do it? Okay. So,
but just to say a little bit more about this place, Greg doesn't drink alcohol at all, and so that means I usually have to choose my wines by the glass, which, as most people that are wine drinkers know, that does limit your choice, and in many instances limits your quality, because they're not going to be pouring the really good wine by the glass. It's going to be waste wine.
So Valentine's Day is a way that I apologize for not drinking alcohol to make your drink less.
Okay. But so one thing that I want to say is that their per glass wine selection was ridiculous. It was really bad. I mean, they had things like Sutter and really like mundane wineries from Napa Valley, and I was like, what? So that's
again, no big deal if you're just going to some standard restaurant. But again, if you're spending the money to go to a, quote, nice restaurant, then
I was really surprised by their wine by glass selection.
She threw it in the waiter's face. It was a big scene.
Yeah,
and there was a big fight, and then the ninjas jumped in. That was when it got crazy.
I'm glad the ninjas stopped it, though. It was getting a little, you know.
And then they disappeared. I don't know where they went. It's amazing.
Okay, so that's Water's Edge.
Okay. What do you want to say for that? Do you want to say a 6 for them?
Yeah.
Okay, so 6 out of 10 for Water's Edge. Now, the next one that we've got, the next restaurant, was one that we just got back from tonight, which was the Madison Bistro. And the website for this is madisonbistro.com. Now, I actually found some reviews of these people on NYC City Search, and this I know is the same for cities across the world, actually. They have city searches where people have done user reviews. It's very dangerous to trust this review by review, but if you get the aggregate, it's a pretty good sense. Mm-hmm. And just about everybody liked this particular place. They've won a bunch of awards for their, you know, their wine choices and their food choices, and it's basically it's a French restaurant. And I think I also found them in part through OpenTable, if I'm not mistaken. And they are on Madison Avenue in New York, so they're in this, you know, nice place in a nice area. And they also
just
had
a little
prefix
bit south
there.
Of Times Square,
right? And so, what did you think of the experience? I mean, the place first of all was nice.
It's quaint. It's a nice ambiance. It's cozy. Maybe a little cramped in the tables, but I don't know if that was special because of Valentine's Day. They had a lot of, you know, 2-person tables or something like that,
and lots of Valentine's Day balloons.
Right.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And the music was kind of this modern. Let's just say it wasn't Jacques Brel. It wasn't French. I don't think it had anything to do with the ambiance. And so that was a little off-putting for me. But it was, you know, nice warm lighting. And the menu, I thought, was a fairly good selection. Again, this was Valentine's Day special, so it was a fixed price menu, which did limit our choices. But there was a couple next to us that was vegetarian, and they said, just tell us what you want, we'll make whatever you want. So there was obviously flexibility there.
Yep.
There was, on the other side of us, there was a lactose intolerant guy, and they made a special dessert for him. So the service seemed very good. My water was never empty.
Nope.
And they were very attentive. And I thought the quality of the food was fairly good.
Yep.
Not exquisite.
This was a 3-course thing again. So they had an appetizer choice of like 5 or 6 things, and then an entree choice of 5 or 6 things. And then they had a dessert, which was pretty much standard, which was a selection of 3 things.
Yeah, I had an escargot. You had a salad.
And I really actually liked the salad.
The escargot were a little chewy, but it's really hard not to do that.
I thought the fish entree was good.
You loved your trout.
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
My beef tenderloin was close to exquisite. Okay. It was quite nice.
Yeah.
But it was an additional $4 supplemental.
Yes, plus four. And then...
Same with my escargot was a plus two.
And then the dessert.
That was an expensive date tonight.
I know. Well.
And then the dessert was a white chocolate mousse. It was a trio dessert. So white chocolate mousse with a caramelized orange crepe and a raspberry...
Parfait,
which was
not
like
a parfait.
Slab of raspberry, like mousse or
right.
something.
Which was fine, but it wasn't parfait. I don't know. Anyway. But it was fine. And the only thing Clea didn't like about that part was that when we got tea at the end, we got Lipton.
They gave us Lipton.
And then the people next to us, they're like, you know, here, let me bring out our tea selection. And out comes the tea selection with bouzouki players in the background and everything. We're like,
why would
guess
you even
you
carry great. Lipton? Not to say Lipton's bad. I actually
think
Lipton...
Yeah, let me reemphasize for people again, in case people are like, oh my God, you're pretentious. This is a nice restaurant, which we would, like, never go to. Like, we went to two nice restaurants, like, and we normally can't afford to go there at all, and this is a special occasion. So now, go back to your Lipton thing.
Yeah, I'm fine
like,
with
Lipton. Like, we drink Lipton all the time.
Like,
but
when I go, and when I'm walking down the street, and there's one of those guys on
Lipton.
The corner, that's fine. But I was at a restaurant paying $41 for a Prixtfice, you know, like the Prixtfice.
Prefix.
Fixed price meal. And they gave us Lipton.
Yeah.
Tea. And I was like, what the heck? But the wine, I ordered a Cabernet Sauvignon, and it was quite good.
Yeah.
And it was by the glass.
And
so
and
their
glass.
Selection by the glass, I felt, was much
was,
better
was
than
much
the other
better.
Place. Although
you know,
the menu,
well, I wanted
the
to say,
wine menu.
Both of the places, I just noticed this, like at the first place, Water's Edge, they bring out this massive book that looks
leather
like it's
bound.
An ancient tome from, you know, ancient Sumeria. And then this thing was this massive, like,
it was huge.
Plastic enclosed item.
It was like 2 feet by...
I was
a
like,
foot and a half, and it was like some kind of plastic.
I was like, are
so
we compensating
so
for something here? They're like, look at the size, look at the power of our wine.
It only had like two sheets
oh
in it.
Oh my God, but they have awards of excellence from Wine Spectator, they say. So, anyway, so what do you want to say for Madison Bistro? I mean, this was a little bit more expensive than Water's Edge. What did you think about it overall? Is this, in this
well,
also in the six range? Or
well,
you want
only
to say
because
in the
fixed price was more expensive, Greg. I don't know if I
well,
would
yes, but,
say
I mean,
that
was that
expen-
meal, but was this meal as a fixed price meal? Appreciably better than Water's Edge.
Give it a 7.
Okay. I'd say that's probably fair enough. I'd say
I mean, the Water's Edge has a better... It has a view, and you're
right.
not talking a view here. Water's Edge had valet parking, so in that instance, all you have to do is just pay for...
So then...
Here, you either take the subway, or you're paying an arm and a leg for parking.
So 6 or 7?
So I want to say 6.
Okay. All right. So then we gave 6 to Water's Edge, and a 6 to Madison Bistro. Okay. Last on the docket is, one last thing before we leave that behind. So the point here is, if you can, save up money, and every once in a great while, give yourself the opportunity to go to a nice restaurant. Even if you're not going as a couple, even if you're single, there is something to be said, I think, for slowing down and relaxing. Even if you're constantly out fighting the good fight, doing charitable work, giving of yourself all the time, there's nothing wrong once in a great while with doing a little bit of something for yourself, including taking the time to relax and enjoy a nice meal. So.
And then also, if you're, you know, when you do come to New York, see if it's restaurant week.
That's right. Well, and obviously, if you're coming to New York, you need to contact us, and we'll, you know, see
oh,
if we
we'll
can,
hook you up.
We'll hook you up.
Okay.
Last on the docket for tonight is this silent film.
That
That Old Silent Film, which, as I said, was submitted to us by Arnon Shore. This is a guy from Ox Rock Productions. And his website, by the way, is www.oxrockproductions, OXROCKPRODUCTIONS.com. And he was referred to us by Avram, who's the guy who did Feed Me Bubby. This is basically a silent film, which he says he's going to use as casting, as a thing for a reality show that he's going to do. And so they asked us to take a look at it. It's about 5 minutes. It is, or 6 minutes, actually. And as, no, 5 minutes. And as he says, it's a silent film, so there's just a piano playing in the background with music, I believe, originally composed by somebody else that he actually commissioned for this film, which I thought
it's
was neat.
It's very, like...
very old turn of the
like
century
Chapman,
type of stuff. Yeah.
Chaplin
Charlie
kind of
Chaplin
stuff.
Type
yeah.
of stuff. Totally. And basically the film traces the story of this guy who's trying to learn how best to flirt. So he spends time in a gym trying to exercise and get stronger and right. some funny things happen on the exercise machines. Right. And then he's discouraged because he doesn't know if he'll ever find the girl of his dreams and so on. It's well, a very simple kind of yeah. minimalist film in that respect.
You want to give the website to the...
Oh, sure. You can find this. Yeah. Cause I think he would like to have commentary and all that sort of thing. You can find this at at films.thelot.com/films/1505.
Right.
So films.thelot.com/films/1505.
What's the goal of doing this? Because obviously you're talking silent film, so you're going to do everything that's standard for silent film, right? So there is nothing that he did in this silent film that was unique at all.
Right. Well, this is actually part of Fox's reality competition show On the Lot. So I guess this is all part of it's like a reality thing about how to create a good film and, you know, have it be accepted by Fox, and Steven Spielberg's doing it. So that makes more sense.
So it's more demonstrating that you can make good cinematographic decisions directorially.
Right. And it's going to reduce the applicants to 16 filmmakers, and then the finalists are divided into teams to begin the journey toward their big break. That actually sounds kind of cool as a reality idea. And they get, like, the best people. Like, they get the 16 finalists get, like, all the best the best producers and, like, all the resources of studios.
Like, I could see it being a wise choice to do a silent film, because then he doesn't have to have possibly bad dialogue pull the value of his movie down.
Right.
But I wonder if it will harm him that he's doing something that isn't in color, it's in black and white.
Right.
And that has no dialogue, and that is simplistic in its themes.
And he put it in the comedy genre, which is it's difficult, because this isn't laugh out loud funny. It's charming, and I don't know how else to put it. I think it's well designed as a charming sort of, it's a film that you'd sort of smile, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not negative, it's not going to bring you down, and it communicates what it needs to communicate very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to measure. It's not uproariously funny, though, and I don't know how it's going to measure up against that other stuff.
But
I don't know where else you put it. Romance, maybe, or something?
A lot of the reason, yeah, maybe romance. A lot of reasons it's not uproariously funny is because he's doing standard slapstick silent film things.
Yeah, yeah.
And you look at it and you can see right through it.
Yeah.
It's not to say that he didn't do it well, and that if it wasn't, that in a way, you know, it's derivative, but simply because it's derivative doesn't mean that it's poor quality.
Right.
Because it's even saying what it is. It's
well, here's
old
the
silent film.
Here's the question. Did he take enough risks to get noticed here? I mean, obviously, he didn't... here's the thing. Clearly, he knows what he's doing.
Right.
He didn't screw up with this film.
No.
He made something which was clear and, you know, evident. The problem may be that he didn't do anything... Because he didn't do anything very complicated. I mean, like, literally, there's maybe five actors in the whole film, if that. And the shots are very simple and very to the point. Is that going to be something that will appeal to the reality show people? Because they'll say, okay, this is someone who doesn't need to do all this whiz-bang stuff and possibly fail at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to think that he took the safe road? Because this is not innovative in any way. But I don't... And that may have been a conscious choice on his
part.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
And maybe it is good for him. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if he chose the simplicity so that it could demonstrate his ability in cut scenes, in editing.
So did he do that
cinema,
then,
right?
Do you think?
It looks like a legitimate film. It doesn't look like it was made by just like anyone.
Right.
The cut scenes, the editing,
yep,
the close-ups, the full body.
Even the music.
The choices.
Since its original music was well done, I thought.
You could have told me that it was something from an old Chaplin film, and I would.
But that's the point. I mean, the fact that it duplicates that so perfectly is what I mean.
Why not just choose one from a film? Why
because it's
come
a lot harder to commission somebody in the year 2007. Write me something that sounds like Charlie Chaplin and not have it sound crappy. I think it's very impressive, and the fact that he managed to sort of key it to the rest of the film.
It's one of my those things. It's like, well, if it's going to sound exactly like it, why don't you just use it?
Because you can't, because of copyright issues, and because this shows that you can get a team assembled that can do this stuff.
I see. Okay.
With very pretty much no pay.
Okay.
Is what I would say.
So I mean, I think that he demonstrated that he has directorial and production ability. So maybe he was choosing to be simplistic so that could be demonstrated and not be overpowered by other things. So if that's the decision, if that's the reason, I think that's did it. I just don't know if he did consciously make that decision or if I'm reading into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. And I guess, you know, when it comes to a rating, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I didn't, the movie for me wasn't incredibly interesting, but I don't know that it was meant to be. I mean, this is not something I'm going to remember for, you know, now until time immemorial, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I think it is cool to see that this guy was able to put together a concept, communicate it effectively, and demonstrate that he had the skills to do so. And obviously, therefore, I would hope that he could get into this competition, because, God, if there's anything we need, it's actually people to make good movies, especially at Fox, heaven help us.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is that casting-wise, do you feel... I mean, I felt like I was watching what I was watching. I didn't think like I was maybe actually watching legitimate actors. I felt like I was watching people and their friends acting.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose.
I mean, so I think that that detracted from it.
So what do you want to say for a rating?
So we're like rating it as a short film?
I guess, yeah.
That's hard.
You know what I would say? I would say a six again, because I feel like on the merit itself, I think the film is very average to me. It's like a five. But I think given what he's trying to do, and because it's clear to me that there's some talent behind it, I think that it's in the six range. I don't think it's scintillating. Like, I'm not like, wow, this guy is the most stunning. I can't tell that from this film. I mean, it may be there, but I just don't know if I can tell that.
For that reason, I'm sorry. I have to give it a four. I mean, four. I think the guy has got ability, but you have to look at the product. You're asking me to rate the product. You're not asking me to rate his ability and what this possibly demonstrates as ability. You're asking me to rate this product. This product is a four.
It's a little low. Most people don't spend their time working on silent films. And when they do produce a silent film, it comes across as cheesy, as badly edited, as cut together. I mean, look at Fox Movies' own productions, and you'll see high-budget stuff that wouldn't know what the heck they were doing if a camera, you know, hit him in the face. So I don't think it's reasonable to give the guy a four on that basis. I think that he's, you know, I'm not saying that what he was doing is extraordinarily complicated, but I think it's reasonably well executed.
I think it's reasonably well executed.
But then you can't give it a four.
But I think the product is a four.
Type of genre is a four?
No, on what he was creating, I think he's on what he was creating, which was this small, semi-comical, semi-slapstick, semi-romantic. What he produced is a four. I mean, I think it was well executed.
It's too low.
Maybe I should say that the plot, whoever wrote the screenplay is a four. I think that it could have been a little bit less him, you know, running funnily on the treadmill, and maybe a little bit more interaction. The buildup of him having some kind of romantic interest in this particular female that led him to go to the gym could have been more in depth. All we see is him seeing her reading a magazine and suddenly he's at the gym. I think that there could have been a lot more depth of character development there, and why he cares about her. Or is it just he cares in general?
Well, some of the comments mentioned that sort of thing, and I think that's reasonable. I think that makes it an average film, though. I mean, I've seen so much garbage that passes for films on YouTube that I think that something like this clearly demonstrates more than that.
But I think I think it is well executed, but there was a lot more that it could have done in the span of 5 minutes.
Fair enough. Well, we certainly wish him lots of luck not to forget us on his way up and to, you know, have been his inspiration as he arrived. He's like, well, you know, what really got me started on this, Fox, was Upon Further Review. I'd love to see that. Okay, right. So 5 out of 10 for that old silent film.
Good luck. Go and vote for it, everyone.
Yes, everyone go and vote for it and check it out. Okay, that's going to do it for us for this week. Somewhat longer show, but we had some stuff we wanted to talk about with Valentine's Day and the like. We hope that everyone will continue to leave information for us on the Frapper map. We've got more people from everywhere, as I mentioned. We hope people will continue to vote for us at the various places that you know to vote for, and to leave positive reviews for us over at iTunes. I should also say, by the way, that I noticed that a lot of the anonymous reviews at iTunes have vanished, apparently. I guess Apple has decided that, you know, if you're not willing to put your name, they're not going to leave stuff there. So some of our reviews have vanished. So please come back and give us reviews again. And, I don't know, try to leave it anonymously. And if not, just, you know, make your name anonymous. That's fine.
Are we still in that contest?
Yeah, and we're still in the podcast peer contest. I believe we're right now tied for second. Yeah, I think we have 6 or 7 votes for us and tied for second. And I don't know, Charles has like 16 or something like that. So he's got a lot. Oh. But please go over and vote for us, because that competition is still ongoing. And there's a link to our website for that. Otherwise, thanks a lot for listening. Happy Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. May the winds of love sweep you off your feet, wherever they may take you. And we'll see you guys next week. Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See ya. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved.
If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at apon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!